Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Sojourn in fear. Today I want to be looking at 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21. Let us read verses 17 through 21. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So Peter is writing to these scattered believers, suffering, primarily Jewish believers, but yet truth for all of us, because he'll go on and acknowledge he's writing to the church. Let us begin today's study at verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges every man according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now remember what was just said. Doctrinal truths through verses 1 through 12. Verse 13, wherefore get your thinking under control based upon these truths. Don't be like the world, but be holy. And if you call on the Father, you got the flow? Are you calling on God? I want to take and remove a phrase that's a supporting phrase. It's an important phrase, but let us get down to the simple sentence. Peter says this in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, jump from comma to comma. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, I'm not saying that what's between those two commas is unimportant, but I'm saying it's supportive of the simple sentence. Let us read the simple sentence again. And if you call on the Father, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Are you praying to God? Then live in fear. If you call on the Father, then pass the time of your sojourning, your time here on earth, in fear. It is a simple sentence. And then he supports it with that section between the commas, who without respects of persons judges according to every man's work. If, are you calling on God? Are you folks in the middle of trials? Are you scattered? Are you hurting? Do you look to him for guidance? Do you look for him for wisdom? Do you look for him for strength through daily living? Are you doing that? Well, if you do, pass your time in fear. If you're praying and you're expecting answers, do it in fear. You see what he's saying here? If you are honestly calling on God, and if you call on God, you're expecting him to answer. There's a condition. If you scattered and suffering believers are looking to God and expecting him to answer, you better do it his way. This is not fear of the persecution. You get that? He's not saying, and if you read the context of Peter, they're in the Roman Empire, not known for catering to Christianity. They are still in the time of persecution. They're scattered. You read the big flow of the book. Servants, obey your master even to the froward. Are you calling on God in the midst of your persecution in your job? Wives, if your husband is not obeying the word, are you calling on God? Pass your time in fear. Do you fear God? He is not talking about fearing life circumstances. He is talking about fearing God. Take a look. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There is right fear and there is wrong fear. We do not have the spirit of fear. That's what God has given us when we were born again. The potential is there, but we've got to grow in the Lord. Many times I have referenced 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elijah and his servant are surrounded in the city of Dothan by the Syrian army. And the servant is panicked. Alas, master, how shall we do? He was afraid. But when Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his spiritual eyes," he had peace. See, the fear that the servant had was ungodly fear. But there's godly fear too. He does not want us to fear the things of this life. He wants us to fear him. There's right and wrong fear. We must fear God. That's what Peter's talking about. And if you put it in context, remember what he just said? Don't live like the world. Be holy. If you call on God, you better fear him. You better do it God's way. It is true that God is God of love, mercy, and he's slow to anger, but he's also a righteous God and demands justice. Be holy, for I'm holy. If he's holy, how much sin does he tolerate? None. This is what he wants of believers. Proverbs 9:10. Here is good fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. It's only the beginning. People fear the IRS. That's why they do their taxes. Nobody does it simply because they like to do their taxes. I have yet to have anybody, "Boy, I just love to fill out a 1040, write my check, and send it in." You do it because there's consequences. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Peter is commanding these believers. Remember, please get the big flow of this passage. 1 through 12, do you realize who you are in Christ? Verse 13, "Wherefore, let it establish your thinking. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober in hope. Think properly." Based on who you are, don't be like the world. Be holy and fear God. You see, we are to seek God on God's terms. Too many times, we want to define how God is going to be pleased with us. I want us to take a look at an Old Testament illustration here that well makes the point. As we take seriously the command to be holy, I want us to read Exodus chapter 32, starting at verse 4. This story is talking about Israel. They had just been delivered a short time ago from Egypt. The Red Sea parted. They passed through. It closed shut. The Egyptian army was destroyed. Moses goes up on the mount. He gets the law. While he's up on the mount, the children of Israel are down below, and they get themselves into a mess. Exodus 32, 4. Aaron has been left in charge. See, the people are saying, "Where's Moses? We need to make a calf." And so Aaron said, "Okay, give me your gold." And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Do you think God was happy? I don't think so. Verse 5, "When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow's a feast to the Lord.'" Oh, now I'm sure God, oh, that's okay then. I'm sure God just erased all of his anger and said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I'll just go ahead and accept that. I'll ignore the golden calf. I'll ignore your immoral behavior. It's okay." Now, obviously, I'm being quite facetious. God was livid. "They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings." Oh, and God says, "Am I so pleased with my children?" "And brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." But look at God's real opinion. Ready? Verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.'" Folks, they didn't do it God's way. I don't care if you say tomorrow's a feast of the Lord. If you don't do it right, God's not pleased. I don't care what you call it. But don't you understand? The high priest endorsed it. I don't care who endorsed it. God didn't endorse it. As we think about Peter's command to be holy, we must make sure we're doing it according to God's standards. We're not to tell God what righteousness is. We're to fear God and make sure we're doing it according to his standards. Folks, this isn't a game. The sin that put God on the cross is not something that we're supposed to say, "Oh, it's okay now." God says, it cost me my son. Why would you want to endorse and tolerate sin? Be holy and you better live in fear. The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down for thy people. Isn't it amazing God disowned them? I thought they were his people. You can have them, Moses. For now, they're your people. Moses, did you really bring them out of the land? You can have them, Moses. Right now, I am so angry at Israel. But they're praying to God. Folks, we cannot mix idolatry and immoral behavior, call it a Christian holiday, and say this is acceptable to God. God has his standards. It's for him to tell us what to do. It is for us to reach God on his terms and on his standards and make sure in fear that we're doing just that. Too many want God on their terms. Isn't this a whole theme of Christian growth? Change. Don't fashion yourself like you used to be. Change. Don't redefine holiness and righteousness and expect God to be pleased. Did you know there's coming a day we're going to give an account? I think God is slow to anger and merciful, and people take advantage of it. Oh, see, I did it and got away with it. Yeah, but don't confuse God's mercy, that he is not a God of justice also. 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Be holy, come on, be holy in fear. Do it God's way, because there's coming a day. You may hide it here on earth, but there's coming a day your work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. The Bible says here, if ye call on the Father, do you recognize him as your father? Then treat him like a father. He's to be obeyed. And let us just think what he just said a few short verses before. Look at 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do you call on the Father? You ought to be an obedient child. Be holy according to God's standards in fear. The truth is, parents are to be feared, yet at the same time, they are to be loved. That's how God our Father is. He is Abba Daddy. But we better fear him with a God-honoring fear. As obedient children, do you call on the Father? Then remember, he is a father and you are to be an obedient child. And God is without respect of persons. Each person is accountable before that holy and righteous God. The problem was the Jews tended to think that because they were Jews, they had a special place simply by birth. Not true. John 8:39, Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews. He said, they answered, said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Simply because we are by blood Abraham's children. Therefore, everything's okay. We're righteous. God loves us. Everything's fine. Saying, no, you're not doing the works of your father. You may be of his blood, but you're not of the same spiritual line of Abraham. It was quite a different story with Abraham. God knows the work of each person and judges according to every man's work, whether they're holy or not. It is for us to live in fear to be holy, because God knows your works. I want us to read a quote from John Gill's commentary. He says this, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work? This is another reason why men should be holy, taken from the general judgment. For this God is the Father, he's also a judge. Further, Gill says, the judge will not judge according to the sight of the eyes and outward view, for he looks on the heart and knows the secret things of all actions. And according thereunto, he will judge and pass the sentence. This is talking to born-again people. This is not judgment on the unsaved. And therefore, what manner of persons ought men to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, hence it follows, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. He's the Father, he's the judge, and he does not respect anyone. I don't respect persons. You all are to be accountable before me to do right. Oh, that's okay, you're a Jew. And who's Peter primarily writing to? First and foremost, Jews. Jewish believers. Pass your time here in sojourning in fear. Sojourning is by definition being a foreign resident. Folks, this is not our home. We're passing through. We are foreign residents here. We must remember our citizenship is in heaven and live for that kingdom. We're not here on this earth for eternity. This is a vapor. People are to be fearful if you call on the Father. What do you think they're calling on him for? For help through these scattered persecution times. Are you calling on him? Then you better do it in fear. Let me tell you what, if you're not doing it in fear, don't be surprised when God doesn't answer your prayer. God did not answer Israel's prayer. Oh, Lord, aren't you pleased with this gold calf and our immoral behavior on this feast day? God says, Moses, get down here. They've corrupted themselves. Do you understand God looks at his people that they are corrupt? I think too many times, oh, God just loves me just the way I am. Yes, God does love you. I will not deny that. Doesn't mean he's pleased with you. God expects things to be done his way. Peter is telling them how to be holy. And I want you to get this. As they are calling unto God for obviously direction in daily living in the midst of their persecution and trials, I want you to consider how Peter opened the book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of the God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Here it is. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You scattered people, I'm going to write a letter to you to help you find grace and peace. And he's getting to it here. You better do things God's way. Don't tell him what he's going to be happy with. You learn, and I'm writing this letter so you learn how to please God, and then you're going to find this peace that is to be given unto you that God wants you to have. 18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. And so it is. He is, remember the context. Be holy. And if you're going to call on God, you better fear him and do it his way. And you know, this is not a game. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things. God wants you holy because you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the innocent Son of God. Can we please grasp the magnitude of this concept? God in heaven, that is so powerful he can create this universe, sent his Son to die. And believers don't want to be holy. And we expect God to go, oh, that's okay. He just loves me and accepts me the way I am. Listen, God loves you. I won't deny that. And if you're born again, amen, you cannot lose your salvation. But I'll tell you what, don't expect God to be answering your prayers. Don't expect to be having the peace that you could have. And don't be surprised if God brings chastening in your life. Peter explains what salvation is not. It's not the result of corruptible things such as silver and gold. The Jews especially were deep in tradition. The Pharisees were incredible in tradition. Tradition, man-made truths. Oh, we'll make up our own truths. Consider Paul, once a absolute dedicated Pharisee, the group that probably got the greatest wrath from Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Paul was a Pharisee. Look at this. Galatians 1:13. For ye have heard of my conversation, my manner of life. Paul is speaking. You heard what I was like in times past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The traditions of the fathers led them astray. And he's saying in his writing, you were not saved by silver and gold like the traditions of your fathers. This is not where truth is. Paul actually thought he was doing a good thing. He needed to have his eyes open. No, persecuting the church is a horrible thing. Of course, God struck him down on the Damascus Road and he got his spiritual eyes opened. Peter says, ye know. Come on, believers. You know you were not redeemed by silver and gold. God had sent his Son to save me from my vain conversation, my empty, meaningless life. I need to take this seriously. How would you like to do something for someone and they don't appreciate it? How would you like to send your Son to die for someone who doesn't appreciate it? How do you think God, who created this whole world, thinks about it? the price that was paid, he is saying. Do you understand the perfect Son of God came and died for your sins? You better appreciate it. Come on, Christian, let's remember the price that was paid. Think about the price that was paid. God sent his Son. We ought to be holy, and we ought to live in fear to make sure we're doing it God's way. Did you know God was not had on a bad deal when he sent his Son? He's not up there wringing his hand, man, oh man, did I overpay for those people? No, it was the only acceptable payment. That's the only payment that's acceptable, to pay the sin of the world. Why should these believers live holy and in the fear of God? Because the great price that was paid for the redemption. That's what he's saying. Come on, do you realize the price that was paid for you? He's going to go on in the next verses and tell us how holy Jesus Christ was. So far, he's given us reasons why we should sojourn in fear and be holy. Ready? Because God is holy. Because God is a father. Because God is the judge. Because God is not the respecter of persons. And because there was a great price paid for our salvation. In these few verses, he gives us a lot of reasons why we ought to be holy and sojourn in fear. 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and spot. Remember, he's writing to Jewish people. He's taking them back again to the Old Testament. Do you remember what your fathers have done? There was given in the law all of the sacrifices. Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of that. The precious blood of Christ, he was the Lamb without blemish and spot. Let us take a look back to Leviticus 1:10, and this probably would have come to these Jewish believers' minds. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats or of the burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. Jesus Christ with a male without blemish. This is what has paid it. For hundreds of years, the Jewish sacrifices have pictured the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. This is what has paid the price for your sin debt. This is what Peter is saying. Be holy, because God is holy, because God is the Father, because God is the Judge, because God does not respect persons, because great was the price that paid for your salvation. Be holy. 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Another reason to be holy. Because it's been God's plan before the world ever began. And he chose you to be a part. Another reason to fear God and be holy. Get your thinking on the real world. Foreordained to know beforehand. It was determined that Christ would pay the sin debt of the world. I also want to quote Gill again, because I like this one a lot. A Savior was provided before sin was committed. Before this world was created, it was ordained Jesus Christ would come. A Savior was provided before sin was committed, and the method of man's recovery was settled before his ruin took place. I like that. This is why you ought to be holy. It's God's plan. He was manifest in times for you. Yes, Christ came in the flesh, born, lived among men, and he died. Let us never forget that. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. By him we can believe in God, because Christ has paid the price. Who by him do believe in God? Sure, because God's plan is made sure. He has paid the sin debt. God raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And what is the whole point? Think about the big picture. Peter is writing to scattered believers who are suffering. Do you want to have hope and faith in God that he will hear your prayers and answer? Then do it in fear and ask according to his terms. Don't tell him what you're going to do. Do you want hope? Do you want to believe in God? Do it his way. Don't tell him how you're going to do it and expect him to answer, that your faith and hope might be in God. Folks, our only hope is in God. There is nothing else that can answer our prayers. These scattered believers were to be able to find peace and victory in the midst of a sinful world because of being holy and the power of God through the Holy Spirit in their life. Why should the believer be holy and sojourn in fear? Number one, they're commanded to be holy. Number two, God is holy. Number three, God is our Father. Number four, God is our judge. Number five, if you call on God and expect answers to help, you better be holy. Number six, because God does not respect persons. And number seven, because the price that was paid for our salvation was great. And when we do things God's way, we can expect hope in this life. But folks, don't tell God. You've heard the old expression, it's not that God's on our side. Are we on God's side? That's really the issue. And we better do that in fear. You ought to fear God to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Today, I think I'll turn on this TV program. Oh, it doesn't matter. I think I'll just do this. I better fear to say, hey, wait a minute. God is not pleased. He is a God of justice. Yes, He is slow to anger. He is merciful, but He also says, be holy. And I'm afraid to do something against Him that would disappoint Him and cause a division between me and my God. Peter is talking to born-again people. Let me now talk to the unsaved. Let this hand represent you and me, every person that has ever been born on the face of this earth. Let this billfold represent sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody that has ever come upon this earth is a sinner. We need to have that sin debt paid, because if it's not paid, the wages of sin is death. We're going to die and spend eternity in hell. And God is not willing that any should perish. So He doesn't want that to happen. So how do we deal with this sin debt? The Bible says not of works. There's nothing we can do in our good works in our flesh to get rid of this thing. I could never be good enough. You could never be good enough. And nobody can be good enough to get rid of that sin debt. Because even if we could be perfect starting today, what about yesterday's sin? We cannot get rid of that sin debt in our own strength. And so it is, God saw this helpless condition and He sent His only begotten Son. As Peter reminded the believers that he wrote to, the one without blemish, He was on that cross and He became sin for you and me. He died paying the sin debt and He rose again the third day. The sin debt was paid and God accepted it. Christ had no sin. That's why death could not hold Him. He rose again. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I'm a sinner, and I cannot do anything to get rid of that sin. But God has made the payment possible. Through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid it all. If I believe and trust in that for my eternal salvation, apart from any of my works, I have eternal life. For God so loved the sinner, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world, that whosoever, whichever sinner, believes, do you believe, not historically, but with a saving understanding, yes, I believe Jesus Christ paid it all. Whosoever believes should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.